Unity is strength and assured success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand. Divided we fall.
Hello, everybody.
Please don't desert me.
Welcome, one and all. I said, welcome, one and all, to another exciting show. Sorry. Welcome to another exciting show. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. It's incidentally the lighter side of genocide, where we make fun of all the hilarious things that are happening in this world that the New World Order is up to. We also like to have a lot of various and diverse and marvelous guests, usually. And today's no different. We also have an artist. Now, you all know my view on artists, is that basically, if we're going to defeat the New World Order, art, music is the way to unite people. I mean, why do you think the 60s had such a big, strong youth rebel culture? It's because they had really awesome frickin' music, man. And today, we have really freaking awesome musicians as well. And the movement is rising. And one of the hardest working bands in the movement is called Poker Face. And to be honest, I'm extremely unfamiliar with them being down here in New Zealand. But I'm going to have them on Paul to Peter from Poker Face. I'm going to have them on anyway to find out all about it. Paul, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Hey, brother. How's the weather down there?
Nice and chilly, you know, we're just chilling.
Now, does it actually, like, snow in New Zealand besides the mountains? I mean...
Well, you know how you don't get snow in LA, but you do get snow in New York? Well, you don't right. get snow in the... You don't get snow generally far north in the North Island where I am, but in the far South Island, yeah, you definitely will be getting some white stuff falling from the sky. But incidentally, we do have white stuff falling from the sky in the North Island in the form of chemtrails.
Doesn't everybody except Italy, man?
Except Italy?
Well, I was there in 1999, and you know, I was very aware of the chemtrail for a long time. And you know, every country that I went into, I made sure, like, you know, they were chemtrailing them as well. And throughout Europe, everywhere except where I was at, in it was off the coast. It was on the coast, La Cinque Terre. It's like kind of like where Milan, La Spezia is, French Marseille side, and dude, I spent, you know, a whole week there, and not one chemtrail was ever pasted above that sky.
Mm. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, maybe things that make you go, hmm.
Well, there's another thing that makes you go, hmm. If you go to Hawaii, it's something that the locals have found out, that if the Lord and Savior, Barack H. O'Berry, goes to Hawaii, the chemtrails stop.
Who's that?
Barry Satoru.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or President Obama. BS for sure. Yeah. Well, you know, who knows? I haven't verified that, and I'm not 100% sure. And I'm not sure if spending a week in a country is long enough to say, but who knows? You know, maybe there's some soft spots out there, or maybe the grass is always less chemtrailed on the other side.
Well, brother, thanks for having me up today, and you know, spending a little time, you know, talking with you and letting your listeners know that we exist. That's always appreciated.
Well, let the listeners know all about you, Paul.
What would you like to know, brother?
Well, there's of course your musical career and how you woke up as well is what I really wanted to delve into first.
Okay. Different story than most. Both my parents are teachers. Not that's different, but I guess some of the first words out of my mouth were probably Rockefeller, Rothschild, and bankers are bad, because my mom was reading conspiratorial books of that nature in the late 60s when I was very young. And, you know, here I am in the back seat of the car waiting for my dad to get off the train, you know, coming home from work. And you know, mom's passionate like myself, and she'd be like, damn, those bankers. And I'd be like, banker's bad. Banker's bad. And then she'd like read off some of the names. She'd be like, Rothschild. I'd be like, Rothschild. And then Rockefeller, Rockefeller. And my mom would turn around and like look at me like with her eyes wide open, like, shh, Paul, you can't talk about this to anybody. They'll think you're nuts. And I mean, those are like the first words I reverberate in my head. And the cool thing about having parents as teachers is they have the 3 months out of the year as summer break. So we would board up the house and we generally, you know, go explore the country or, you know, many parts of the world. So I got to see how the other half lived. And it made me appreciate that I was blessed with being born in America. Not to say America, F yeah, you know, not that kind of thing, but just a country that was birthed with the idea that we are humans, we have God-given rights, and you know, the formation of our government was to limit the government's intervention into our lives. It's lost its way since the Civil War, but you know, the ideals of real freedom can manifest itself very quickly if the rest of the population wakes up from their soma coma.
I have some bad news for you. Whenever somebody mentions the word freedom, the rest of the world now goes, oh, so dumb.
I mean, they oversell it in every commercial, you know. It's like they made it a generic word to mean nothing when, you know, it's the all-encompassing word that means that, hey, I get to live out my singular individuality as the freak, unique being that God made me. You know, as long as I'm not damaging anybody's property or their rights, you know, that's what this life experience, this flesh experience is all about, is, you know, learning the good, bad, the ugly of love. And still at the end of the day, the ticket to ride to heaven is that you learn what love is.
And, yeah.
Government has a way of getting in the middle of that. And I really need to limit them. The parent needs to spank the child's ass again to remind them that you serve us. Okay. We're not the soil and green, you know, useless eaters that you paint us out to be. We are your parent. And I think the parent is waking up again to kick some butt, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Music's the way to do it. That's why, you know, the labels bought out all the acts that were worthwhile and made sure any other acts that came along were all the McBritney Spears and In Suck kind of acts. And, you know, if you have a message and something that, you know, exposes the criminals to light, you know, the labels won't pick you up. You know, six labels came out to see our shows in 1999, 2000, when we were up and coming with Nickelback. There's a couple publications that had us up as up-and-comers. You know, they sing about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And hey, dude, I have no problem. Moderation of everything, you know. But they didn't sing anything of substance. And, you know, the labels, you know, time and time again, they kept saying, like, love your music. The live show is great. But you got to tone down that politically incorrect message. You're too hot to handle. I'm like, thank you, but no thank you.
Yep. I'm absolutely in support of you on that one. How many people have you had come up to you and said, try to tone down your message and we'll make you successful and we'll give you money?
The six labels, that was basically the point. It's like, look, if you want to play ball with us, this is what you have to do. And I'm like, you know,
they all acted the exact same way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, our speech is what they fear the most, you know. My speech at one of our concerts at the Knob Creek Machine Gun Shoot was mentioned last week on the Colbert Report show. I mean, I didn't know that speaking like a forefather warrants your mention on a hit piece on Rand Paul, you know, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when you're coming up and you're in the media spotlight and things of that nature, there's a lot of things that you have to kind of watch and expect. And what was probably, have you been demonized in the media or anything like that yet?
Oh, yeah. We had last year, because the Hutari was set up by kosher KGB assets from the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center. They had used our music and for one of their videos, like they used like three other bands. And it ended up that it put us on the front page of our two locally owned papers, but they're national. Like I think the Times is owned by the Jew by the name of Zell out of Chicago. And the Express Times, we don't know who owns that, but their editor is very Jewish. And we made the paper six times because we have our own opinion on Israel and the Holocaust and international bankers. And I didn't know that it warranted that kind of, you know, attention, because nobody goes up to a rabbi and goes, hey, dude, do you believe in Christ or do you love Christ? Oh, you don't believe in Christ or love Christ. Okay, well, you're going to be on the front page of the paper. So we got I think we took a half a million hits over a day and a half when every CNN, Fox, ABC, they were all playing the clip from the Hutari, and it warranted 3 FBI visits, and everybody that was on our list got visited by the FBI. It's just like insane that, you know, you can't really speak freedom or represent freedom without, you know, the kosher KGB coming down on you. So we've been targeted by them since 1995, and then they started sending their agitprop groups against us in 2006. And they try to kill concerts, but it's getting to the point that everybody's getting sick and tired of them crying wolf, you know, calling you an anti-Semite because you know suck Israel's, you know, hoo hoo. And you know, I'm an American first, and I always want to know, like, why is Israel so important to the United States? Mexico should be more important to the United States because they're a next door neighbor, and we seem to have 30 to 40 million criminal illegal aliens here. But, you know, Israel seems to be the object of affection of the 535 prostitutes in our government that, you know, if you don't sign a loyalty oath to Israel, you don't get reelected next year. You know, you can go to Cynthia McKinney for that news. So,
yeah. You know. And what happens in America is that if you're an illegal immigrant, they just don't enforce the law. You know, you can pretty much get away with anything. But if you're an illegal immigrant in say, Gaza, for example, boy, your head's going to get blown off.
Dude, I'm sick of that whole situation. You know, the non-Zionist Jews were put into the forced labor camps, okay, because they didn't want to go to Israel. So that they were made so uncomfortable that they'd gladly go to Palestine. You know, they had supposedly 6 years of the Warsaw Ghetto. Well, dude, the Gaza Ghetto has been going on for 60-plus years. And I'm only hearing about the so-called Holy Hoax one, man. Okay, not the current one that, you know, they're getting genocided, you know, at the rate of 10 to 1. And it's disgusting, you know. I want to see Israel go back to its 46 borders, if anything.
Well, you know, Israel is the one state that exists that does not define its own borders and never has. In fact, right. A huge hotel was bombed by the Stern Gang in 1946.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
they're the original terrorists.
And I believe that some of the leaders of that gang also attempted to bargain with Hitler so that the Jews would be able to flee Germany and come to Israel to build the state.
Well, that's, you know, why, I mean, that's why the Zionist Jews murdered all the Nazis at the end of the war, because they were complicit in their crime. Okay?
Yeah.
The Zionist Jews, like the Rothschilds, are the ones that built up the Hitler war machine. Why? They needed the patsy to use against the commies that they've been building up since the 20s, you know, east of the Ural Mountains with American Jewish money by, you know, the names of like Julius Heimer and others, Harriman. You know, in fact, Harriman ran, you know, the Soviet Union from 42 to 44 because Joseph Stalin was having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, well, 2 bottles of vodka a day in the KGB, listening to your every word. I'm surprised he didn't break down sooner. Maybe it was possibly the 7 million Ukrainians that got starved to death when the Soviet Empire confiscated all their food supplies.
It's more like 20 to 30 million, brother. And you can find bodies buried there.
You know, it's always worse than what they tell you in the first place. You know, I heard 6 million for the Holocaust. Then I heard 7 million for this other one that happened in Russia that nobody's ever freaking heard about, where they just took the food off of every villager, everything. You know, it's just for goodness sake. And I think that the whole Holocaust thing was an exercise in what's going to happen to modern society, I believe. For example, the very first census was created by Nazi Germany so that they would be able to gather information on the population. That's why they were able to round them up so quickly. You know,
what they've done to the Soviets or to the Russian people is what they're going to be doing to America, surely, if we do not wake the hell up.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've experienced, in my opinion, something like something akin to a growth and a death phase, you know, we're experiencing life, basically. That's the period between birth and death, isn't it? And during life for our countries, we've gotten very, very nice, very, very well plush and flourished and whatnot. And now, because we've been happy and so comfortable on our couches for so long, we're fat, happy, lazy, and dumb. and was very easy to scheme against.
Yeah, America's at that stage, brother. But it's right at the top of the click for real freedom again, too. So that's what heartens my soul.
Yeah, yeah. Well, interestingly enough, you know how there's a lot of foreign businesses in America? Well, okay. America, for some reason, and this is an international perspective for you, you may not be familiar with it, Americans are seen as extremely gullible and easy to make a buck off of.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Well, dude, we're marketed to death by Kabaliwood and the Talmud vision. Spend, 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 you know. Credit, credit, credit. You know, I've been going the opposite way. I've tried to get all debt in my life out of my life. The things I own, I own. You know, if I can't afford something and pay cash for it, then I don't want to do business, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, saving and being prudent with your money is something that got eroded away very quickly with the invention of credit. And, you know, you'd figure people would have learned this this lesson back in the 20s where people were jumping off buildings because they'd gotten so many shares on credit. I mean, come on. When you really think about it, all of the terrible things that are going on in society is because we don't have the capacity to earn what we've got, okay? It's only being bought on credit. There are so few people out there who aren't in debt. You walk into any high school, any workplace, you ask people how many of you are in debt, you can guarantee almost every single hand will be up, if not every single hand, every single time.
Right.
You're enslaving a generation. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest from Poker Face is Paul Tepita, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Bob Marley. Welcome back. All right, we're
jamming. Good stuff, man. I love him. I love how he was as a citizen bureaucrat, man, or citizen politician.
Citizen.
One of the best pieces is when he got the two warring sides on his island to come together at his concert and to make peace with them. But
I disagree. I think the best one was the day that he was shot before a concert, and then the next day he walks on stage, bandaged up, and performs. All right. And he says, "Our enemies never take a day off, so neither can we." True story. And how do you feel about that, Paul? I mean, will there be a day that perhaps the front man of Poker Face takes a bullet to the abdominal aorta and goes down and takes one for the team, but rises from the dead again to play music on?
Well, brother, it's like this, you know, I fear the one that can kill my spirit, not the one that can kill the flesh. And if my death incites a million to rise up and do the right thing, then, my life and my purpose have been served. You know, I'm here to serve the Father, and I'm here on this life and living this life as long as he wants me, man, because I should be dead at least 8 times, man.
Well, have you noticed that when you want good things to happen or attention to be drawn to something, somebody for some reason has to get assaulted or arrested or die or something like that in order for people to sit up and pay attention? You know, isn't it really tragic how you can't bring people's attention just rapidly en masse to things because just something good happened?
Well, unfortunately, like you said, we're in our comfort zone. We're on a Soma Coma drip, and it's dripping nice and slow. And as long as the sports are showing and the beers are flowing, ain't anybody revolutioning.
Well, yeah, the revolution will be lobotomized.
Exactly, that's where we're at, man. So once you don't have jobs to go to and homes to go to, then we'll have the troops in the streets, man. Unfortunately, what it is the bastards feel that they've stolen our birthright and our rights away and our money, that they're not going to give it back. You know, they have force, they intend to use it if we think that we want to stay free. But America's a little crazy, man. We got 100 million guns plus in our hands and more bullets, you know, being bought every day because of Obongos in the office. And it's going to get real interesting real fast, you know. The cool thing about the enemy is they rely too much on technology and they're very prideful. They think that, you know, there will be no blowback, but it's coming and it's going to kick them in the face hard.
Well, you know, I find it interesting when we talk about, like, wars in the United States and whatnot. It goes back to what Steve Quayle said, that there's something like 400,000 foreign troops on U.S. soil already, training in U.S. bases and things of that nature. And it also goes back to earlier on in the piece in 2000 and 98, whatnot, when Marines were running drills, just detaining random citizens and taking them into these makeshift camps that they had, processing them, you know, just conditioning the population for this full-on police state. And then it comes out that there's these something like millions of stacked burial vault coffins that you can fit like something like that. And there's FEMA camps everywhere, something like, I don't know, several hundred massive detention camps in the U.S., some of them with two lines of fencing and even with children's playgrounds in them, you know. And it's just the reality could not be more stark, and the time draws near where it is going to be a choice that a lot of average Americans will have to make about whether or not they have to shoot a foreign soldier.
That time's coming much sooner than they think, brother. It's been planned destruction for years, you know. When you move out the production capacity of a nation to make things for themselves and keep their lives running, like you said, you know, it's all about having productive lives that pay for the lives in their debt style, you know. But, hey, man, we have a solution called the local solution, where we empower the carbohydrate dealer again, you know, the farmer, the one that's growing the hemp, the natural resource that everybody in the town can be part of the God's economic pie. You know, I could be the gasoline maker. That's one of our songs we came out with last year. Or, you know, you could be the paper maker, or she could be the bread maker. You know, all part of it, you know, using the carbohydrate dealer. But instead, you know, we have the international banking class funding the carbohydrate dealer, the oil death dealer. And it's time to go back to the way that God made things naturally and using his life cycle instead of this demonic base, you know, consumerism slash control market monopolies. You know, well, everything that we're about is we're empowering the individual for freedom and stop the dependency. No, get off the grid, man.
Well, I think that empowering rural communities is a very, very wise idea at this particular point in time. Chiefly because if you're working in a rural setting, you're not going to university, getting yourself huge amounts of debt, which incidentally, if you don't pay back now, there's now a law in the US where you can be SWAT teamed and then drafted into the military for not paying your college debts. And then, of course, as part of the military in the U.S. police state, you'll then, after being drafted for your college debts, be expected to raid other people to get to draft them for their college debts, as opposed to making nice brick houses right. And planting enormous fields of food for people. That's your choice. And I think that the choice is quite logical, particularly with the looming economic mega crisis, which is going to dwarf any Great Depression standards. Incidentally, during the Great Depression, something like 10 million people starved to death in the United States. And that was when 90% of people lived in rural areas and grew their own food, and 10% of people lived in cities and didn't. Today, it's the reverse. We have 90% of people living in cities not growing their food.
So there's going to be a crazy wake-up call, man. It's not going to just stop at our borders. This one will definitely be a global unrest. And look, man, we have solutions to all these problems, man. We just got to get the criminal elite class out of the way. And, you know, we're proposing a Nuremberg 2-like trial for all the international gangster banksters and, you know, have the people basically, you know, get their money back by, you know, forfeiting and seizing the assets of like the $500 trillion trust the Rothschilds have or the $100 trillion trust that the Rockefellers have.
Yeah, like in New Zealand, we've got an Assets of Crime Act where you can seize criminals' assets if they've been shown to be bought in with fraudulent money and whatnot. And so I think that that wouldn't be a bad idea because I think it'd be great, you know. Imagine living in Rothschild Manor. Oh, yeah.
I don't need that, brother. I'm happy with, you know, the combinations I have now, and I don't need much to live. I just want the freedom of my time again.
How about just doing a gig there? You know, have you ever done a demolition party? You come to a party with a case of beer and a sledgehammer, and during the course of the night partying, you smash the house up and demolish it?
Okay.
Now that would be a great party at Rothschild Manor, I think. And you could do the music,
dude. We're rocking, man. Bring the torches and the pitchforks, man, too.
Oh yeah, it'll be like Burning Man,
elite style. I love it. Beautiful vision, my friend. Beautiful vision.
Yeah, absolutely. The vision of violent destruction of the assets of criminal banksters. Now that's just something that warms the cockles of your heart, and it also, if you're there, it'll also warm your hands. Go ahead.
Last time I checked, you know, murder or genocide, you know, there's no statute of limitations to prosecute these people. You know, we just have to have a government that has the will to do the right thing. And our governments are bought, you know, they're selected for us. We don't have elections, we have selections.
It's
time to get back to the elections.
What about private prosecution? I'm pretty sure, you know, there's plenty of good prosecutors out there who've released books and talk about Charles Manson and JFK and people who are filing lawsuits against Monsanto, etc. There's got to be a team of truther law professionals out there who would be more than willing to give up their time to privately and collectively prosecute the criminal elite bankster masters of the New World Order. That would be a very, very interesting project.
Brother, it's a beautiful project, and one that, for the sake of humanity, for its existence to go ahead, that must happen, because the evil's not getting it's a full door due course of action by We the Free. You know, they've had too much control for far too long. You know, dude, God shared heaven with me, man. Heaven on earth, where brother trust brother from the get-go. Lives building from the time that you meet, or, you know, from the time that you develop a friendship, because you're not always worrying if this dude's going to, you know, stab me in the back or, you know, hurt me. No, you're there to support each other, brother and sister alike. And, you know, it's a world of love, man. And that's what we got to focus on. But right now the evil is in the way of the love. So the evil must be removed, and, you know, start with the bankers. My focus is the bankers. You know, you take care of the money assets and the control that they exude over the communications, the military, the governments, you can finally have maybe a more justful world, you know?
Well, I don't think that there's going to be a point in history where all the corruption has suddenly been weeded out and it's gone, poof, like, and forever. I think that it's a perennial problem. It's something that requires eternal vigilance in order to rather keep at bay. Rather, kind of like weeds in your garden. If you just leave them, then your garden's going to get overgrown. Nobody will be able to see your flowers. You won't be able to harvest any vegetables, no fruits, nothing. You know, it's just freaking useless. Because you didn't rip that toxic, life-choking crap out of your garden.
Man, that's a good analogy, brother. I'm going to have to borrow that one.
Go for your life. It just appears to me that we're approaching a choice now between fear and love, as Bill Hicks kind of put it, and I think that there is well, hear me out. There's the spectrum here, because everybody feels both at some points in their lives, and some people choose to be on one end, and some people inextricably are on the other. But I'm thinking about Truthers versus the New World Order in a kind of mano-a-mano type fashion. And in the Truthers, I believe that there's two waves of people. There are those that are capable of operating in the fear paradigm, like being in the streets with the megaphones, with the cameras, you know, standing up to corrupt cops, being the man on the street and taking the fight directly to the enemy. And then there are those who are more of the back line, sort of like the support people, the ones who run the office work or help to edit videos or help to produce behind the scenes in the radio show and things of that nature. What is the symbiosis here between human beings? It appears to me that no human being can accomplish anything without the assistance of many others. And right. So, you know, it becomes really obvious that there is no way forward without getting rid of the people that oppose us and getting rid of them together. Because on the points that we disagree, you know, like, they're minor things, okay? Whether or not
right,
we want traffic to...
That's
traffic
the 80% solution, brother. We got to come together on the majority of the things that we're all getting screwed with and set aside our hardcore differences that we may never agree on. But for the time being, we have a common enemy of freedom. Common enemy of love that we need to vanquish, and let's see if that those differences even matter anymore. You know,
well, for the first time in history, there is actually one global enemy that is recognizable.
Right,
this is unbelievable. It's never happened before, where the whole world literally has had one bunch of bad guys to look at. Imagine the difficulty fighting a war on that many fronts.
Well, that's why many people have always described it like the octopus, man, you know.
Explain that octopus one for me.
Well, just that it has many branches and many different things, but it's all part of one big complex organization that is the dark side, you know, if you put in any easier terms than that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Danny Casolaro was the one that put that out, and he murdered him, if you want to look up a name. He should be on everybody's heroes wall.
I've got Bill Hicks on my wall right next to my computer right now. And
Bill's a great comedian, man. We loved his political wit. Not so much on the spiritual side. He was kind of lost. But on politics, he said it like it was, man.
Yeah.
That's why they murdered him.
Died at the age of 33.
They murdered him the same way they murdered Bob Marley, man.
If you become... Oh, in the same way that they murdered John Lennon?
No, they shot him. They killed Bill Hicks the same way they did Marley with cancer, man.
Oh, yeah. I think that... I don't know. I get really upset when I think about it. And then I think about all the real good people that have died. Like Aaron Russo instantly springs to mind as well about a wonderful person that really just, that shouldn't be gone, man.
Yeah, brother. I loved his movies too, man.
Yeah. I think that as a species, we've got to realize that we're actually in a state of mourning here because all of our heroes and all of our loved ones have died at some point. And we've got to realize that, hey, the only way that you can really do justice to their memories is if we become the heroes instead. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest from Poker Face is Paul Tapita. And we'll be right back after the break. I want to jump it.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it. Like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation, grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
July 4th, come join patriots from all across the great land in eastern Pennsylvania for Freedom Palooza, a 3-day festival of music and great speakers. Come party with the likes of former Congressman Jim Trafficant,
man, they railroaded that guy,
Mark and Rose.
Hey, I saw him in Freedom to Fascism.
You want great rock?
We got it.
How about the most influential, hardest working band in the movement today? Poker Face.
We got the Amaro,
Fern the Valley,
Ant Killer,
Doug Hawk,
Front to Enemy,
The Grunts,
Kinetic Blue,
Secret System Band,
Scrap Metal Bomb,
Rebel Inc.
Man, that's a lot of bands.
They're found under the stars along the Delaware River like our founding fathers did before the Battle of Trenton.
What else are you going to do this 4th of July?
Sit around with family members you hate? Listen to your fat uncle tell the same stories he tells every year?
No way, man.
I'm going to Freedom Palooza. Go to FreedomPalooza.com
for all the details.
That's FreedomPalooza.com. Freedom Palooza. Freedom Palooza.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Percolite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Percolite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Percolite water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Percolite banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Percolite water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Warning. Warning. American Freedom Radio. Habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Live worldwide weekdays 5 till 7 Central. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio.
Up your winter's days on the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, where a remarkably fabulous, special, talented guest is Paul Tepeda from Poker Face. Paul, welcome back.
Brother, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. Well, Freedom Palooza. Let's try and wrap this up here in a neat little package. I really love the idea of getting together, bringing music and patriots in a public place where a whole bunch of other people can join in to just basically give a big FU to the NWO. Is that what Freedom Palooza is really about? That's as far as it is in my mind.
That's a pretty good summarization of it. It's basically a freedom festival being thrown for fellow freedomers by many of those that are trying to wake up our fellow, you know, Americans, our fellow. It's not just an America problem. If we go down, the world will go into the longest dark ages ever because, you know, we cannot give up the guns. But, you know, so Freedom Palooza is going to be a gathering for 2 days of some of the best music, political protest music that's out there in many different forms, from rap, to reggae, to rock. We have, you know, speakers speaking on many of the topics that you'll never see in the daily newspaper. And we have a former congressman, Mr. Jim Trafficon, who's going to be the featured speaker on Saturday that we're very excited to see. And I would personally love to see him run for president, or at least with a team up maybe with Jesse Ventura. And, you know, Jesse has no problem talking 9/11, HARP, FEMA, TSA, while, you know, even people like Ron Paul, they don't, he won't go 9/11, you know. So I need a politician that could take on the 800-pound gorilla called the Jewish elite, you know, whether it be from Israel or from from London or New York City. We need a president to stand up for America, not Israel, America. So yeah,
well,
I'm looking
forward America
to it.
Has undying support for the Jewish state, and they rationalize it and say, well, you know, there's 63 Arab states and there's only one Israeli state. And the Arabs started the 67-day war and all of this other kind
that's
of
lies.
Stuff. That's lies as well. I mean, the Israelis had been encroaching on all of their territory for ages, like expanding in every direction for a certain period of time. And they wouldn't negotiate with the Arab nations that they were invading. And so they all tried to fight back. And then Israel launched a sneak attack that took out all their air forces and defeated them all in 6 days. That's how the modern state of Israel really came to be.
Through a sneak attack.
Yeah, I mean, They annoyed them, niggled them, and stole, and then killed. I mean, what more of a brutal, tyrannical example do you want? There's a reason why there's only one Jewish state there. It's because it forced its way in and killed everybody who resisted.
Well, dude, what they're doing to Palestine is what they plan to do to the rest of the world. The Russians know that. Eastern Europe knows that. You know, they already went through a cycle with them. But, you know, we have all the wrong Zion Nazis and all the right police state positions to do it the same thing here in America. The neo-Bolsheviks reign the roost right now with their Obongo puppet, you know. Who's three-quarters Jewish anyway.
And are you featuring on any television recently? Because the Underground News Network has been launched now. I believe you might be making an appearance on one of the TV shows at some point. I'm not sure.
Well, we hope that they end up coming to Freedom Palooza and get to broadcast it and be a part of the day, which would be wonderful, man. Because what we like to do is take this idea and start traveling with it, you know, across the country. You know, coming to a good town, like, you know, do a Freedom Palooza in Austin, do a Freedom Palooza in New York City, one in Philadelphia. You know, key spots where there's some good truther communities growing that, you know, we can go into that area and bring up the talent that is in that area, whether it be music or speakers, you know, and informing their fellow men.
Well, it goes back to what you talked about, localized communities. And what if all of these different Freedom Palooza events became localized? And because every town's got bands and speakers and whatnot, right, of varying degrees and skills, and you can get together and have your own little Freedom Palooza. You know, how about that?
That's a great concept. You know, that's what this is about. And, you know, what I want to do is have like maybe three or four main bands that, you know, are well known in the movement that come to the city to be bolstered up by the local accent. Dude, we're all about the local, man. We need to produce everything local, our energy, our food, our clothes. We don't need to import stuff from China Mart, man. We need to put tariffs at our borders to protect the industrial capacity of the United States, which is basically almost done now. I mean, we have so many traitors that it's disgusting. But hey, once you leave the building, we'll lock it up that you can't come back. And once we start growing the domestic industries again, you're not going to be able to have access to the markets or even, you know, allowed into the country again. So, hey, sorry, multinationals, you don't get to work here anymore.
That's the way it really needs to be. Take your local town back first. In fact, Here it goes. It goes in the two steps in the local. Maybe it's three steps. First of all, you got to take back yourself, break your own programming, and stop being a freaking slave. Secondly, you got to take back your family and stop them from being freaking enslaved. Then you got to start taking back your communities, start taking back your cities, your towns. And then you can start thinking, and then your state, and then you can start thinking about taking back your country. But you know, to think about going from point A to point Z with missing all the letters in between, you're going to have a severely top down society as a result of your actions anyway.
Right. So Freedom Palooza, it's a 2-day event, July 2nd and 3rd of July. Forefathers Day weekend. It's 12 to 10 each day. $10 donation. $10 for parking, so carpool. And there'll be food there. You can bring canned beer. No bottles of any kind of glass. And also water bottles and plastic. But Campy is going to be available on a first-come, first-served basis. But the $10 that you pay for admittance to see the speakers and bands, if you get there early, then you get to camp. And we're trying to encourage camping so people don't leave, you know, drunk or, you know, mess themselves up. And it's an opportunity where everybody can get to know each other better. I mean, a lot of us know each other through emails, through telephone, through Skype chats or, you know, chat boxes on Facebook. It's always good to put, you know, the flesh to flesh together. Say, hey, here's my fellow human being that cares as much as I do. Let's get to know each other a little better. Let's hang. Let's sing around the campfire or do drum circles and, you know, just hang. Get to know the brothers that we're supposed to be on this earth, you know, not the strangers that they made us.
Yeah, man. There's 6 billion people on this planet, and some people sit at home saying, oh, there's nobody worth hanging out with out there.
Yeah. Crazy,
I can't understand the mentality. It's more like, bro, you're the one who's not worth hanging out with.
True story.
It's pretty sad, man. All the people that are real upset with everybody else are the people that everybody else are upset with. And that's the reason why they're upset with everybody else. It's their own freaking fault, man. Stop being ticked off with everybody else and start taking a look at yourself. Get out there. Man. Do something if you want to see it done. Don't wind up running away on and commenting on Facebook and YouTube and stuff like that and screaming out, we are the Zionist state and we will gut you and we will hurt your children and stuff like that, because you're just proving our point, mate. As has happened to me. This is absolutely hilarious, man, how violent and aggressive people get about the state of Israel. And this is it's taboo in America.
It's programming. It's every movie that comes out of Kabbalywood, man. You know, it always has an agenda. Every TV show, you know, the show has nothing to do with the Holocaust, but they'll throw in a Holocaust reference. Like, what? Is there nothing more important than that, dude? Like, you know, 97,000 Jews died in the forced labor camps. Okay, International Red Cross had access to all the camps during the war. All right, 97,000 that died. And look, it sucks that they were put into forced labor camps, but that's what their Zionist leaders did to them. All right? If anything, Hitler should be called Father Israel, man, because he helped birth it with his Zionist backers.
Yep, absolutely. And the whole idea of Zionism is to classify Jews as a race.
They're a religion.
Jews are not a... Yeah, exactly. And Jewish racial identity. All right.
Dude, if they're not practicing their religion, then they're Ashkenazi Khazars for 95% of them in Israel. You ever wonder why they call themselves Israelis and not Israelites? Because they know they're not the ain't nothing like the real thing, baby, and they ain't them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I kind of wonder to myself, why exactly the ADL is just such an aggressive organization, man. Like, seriously, no country has a bigger anti-defamation league than America, and my goodness, do they leap on people all over the place, man. They're like frogs waiting to pounce on a fly.
But you know what, brother? They've crapped on enough of us that we can form our own multimedia that is as competitive or make better movies and music or you know, have better politicians that serve America's interests. That, hey, you crapped on all of us. Now we're a big gang, and we're waking up, and we're networking with each other now.
Yeah, and we'll use the tools that they've given us to network against them. We'll use Amen. Facebook and Twitter and all of that kind of stuff that the CIA and DARPA created to spawn massive freaking truth movements to destroy DARPA and the CIA.
I love it. They made their own demise, man. We're just employing
that's
it
right.
now.
Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show you, doesn't matter how big your enemy's gun is, because you can still take it off him and use it against him. Thanks, Paul, that's for right coming on the show with me today,
hey,
man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Bro, seriously, been my honor, mate. My honor.
We'll talk again, my friend.
Indeed, we will. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back.
Extend your life.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating, or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, unity. To the show that's all about unity. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, apparently. And today I'm having a double-decker of a stacked guest for y'all, who is just really quite a nice guy, intelligent, skilled, and incidentally disabled, and has to use a medicinal substance called medical marijuana. And his name is Mark Jerkins. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny, thank you very much, thank you for inviting me on.
Well, it's definitely my pleasure. I was actually recommended you by a listener to the show, so you've got somewhat of infamy out there, but I was relatively unfamiliar with you. So for those of the listeners who also share that unfamiliarity, would you just please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I'm 48 years old, born and raised in the Air Force, a military brat. Traveled around the world quite a few times. I've lived in 18 states in the United States. I've traveled through every single one of them at least once. I graduated high school in Misawa, Japan. Joined the Army, served 4 years there, finished out in Korea, became a carpenter, and just been traveling and working and breaking myself up, you know. Ended up pretty well disabled. Both of my feet have been destroyed and reconstructed. I have metal and putty in them, holding them together. My knees are shot. My hips are shot. My back has been broken several times and is now fused with two rods in it. I have been damaged between my shoulder blades. I've had several whiplash injuries. My arms, my hands don't work properly the way they should anymore. Very painful. I'm missing a digit, as you can see. well, you probably can't see. This is radio. But anyway, I've had...
Obviously missing a few slices of bread from the loaf as well, but go on.
Only the ends. Only the ends.
Only the ends. Okay. All right. As long as the important stuff is still there.
Right. But anyway, what I'm up against here is that I'm living in a state that has passed a medical marijuana law that says that people such as myself that have been suffering chronic pain for years and years and years, and as a result have been through every kind of narcotic and obituary, you know, painkiller that you can think of, and now my body is rejecting all of them. I can't take even ibuprofen. I've become allergic to all aspirin products. I was addicted. The medical profession addicted me to opiate painkillers for about 16 years while my back was broken and they refused to fix it. And then now the only thing that I can take that helps me, and I got to tell you, I'm racked with pain from head to toe from the time I get out of bed to the time I go back to bed. And sometimes I can't even sleep because of it. But the only thing that I can take that works for me without fail, consistently, the same way every single time, is medical marijuana. And to tell you the truth, I'm pretty good at growing it myself. You know, I've been doing so illegally, of course, for years. And now the state of Maine has passed this law that says that people like myself can take care of ourselves if we can find a doctor that will give us the right to do so. Problem is, they won't give us a doctor that will do that. There's one doctor in the state of Maine located way down in Winslow that is servicing patients like myself. And getting to see that doctor is like winning a lottery. It's almost impossible, you know. And for a person like me, I live, you know, I'm a very modest person. I live on $800 a month, you know, and I'm supposed to come up with $300 to pay this doctor when I make the appointment to see him. Then going down to Winslow and coming back again is the trip down there and back and the night overstay and paying somebody to take me down and back and everything. It comes to almost a little over $1,000 for me to obtain the right to take care of myself. And I personally think that's ridiculous, because there's also another law in the state of Maine that says that since I am 100% disabled, the state of Maine is required to provide me with a PCP, that is a primary care provider, that is located within a 30-mile radius of my home and is willing to treat me according to my specific needs. And like I said, they've only got one in the whole state of Maine that's doing it. And
have you noticed that that's how government works? You know, like the goodies are something you really have to dig for, but the taxes and the parking tickets and all the other costs and amenities and whatnot that go with just living your freaking life come straight knocking at your door.
Right. And you know what? What's funny is, personally, in my situation now, I am 100% disabled, but I'm not dead. Okay, I still do things. I'm a 30-year carpenter for crying out loud. And like you said at the beginning of the show, I'm pretty crafty. You know, I know how to do things, you know, and I'm the guy that people come to fix things, you know, their cars, their houses, their yards, whatever, you know. And even disabled, I still try to do these things. But I'm in a lot of pain, and I cannot take the painkillers that they provide for me anymore, the medical profession. And like you say, you know, it's funny how these things just come walking right in your door. You know, it's like they give you no choice. A person like myself, they give you no choice but to live outside the law, okay? And then when you do that, they come and arrest you and charge you, and then you're stuck under their thumb for years and years, and you still need to take care of yourself. You know, it's ridiculous. It really is, Vinny. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know, that's the problem. They try to make you dependent, you know. And back then, and we were talking about Nazis in the last hour, but back when there were a whole lot of dependent people in Nazi Germany, they just rounded them up and executed them, you know. And it seems to me that what the psychiatric industry now is not entirely different. They just wind up getting a heck of a lot of money out of you and then executing you with incredibly dangerous drugs over a long period of time so that they can milk as much profit out of you as completely possible before your corpse dries up.
Precisely. You're a smart man, and you nailed it right on the head. That's exactly it, my man. It's the ultra-rich feeding off the ultra-poor. And you can't get ahead. You can't get ahead, okay? Once you become, like myself, disabled, that's it. You live at the mercy of a merciless society.
Yep, absolutely. At the mercy of the merciless. That's your choice, ladies and gentlemen.
That's your choice. That's your choice, you know? And it's sick because, you know, I have to take care of myself. I need to be as comfortable as I can be because I'm still alive. You know, I'm not dead. I have to live. I have to take care of my home. I have to take care of my property. I have to take care of myself. And I am alone. I have no one here to help me. So who's going to do it, you know? And if I am so racked with pain that I can't even move, well, what's to become of me, you know? And it's just very unfortunate that the whole world has been spoon-fed lies, flat-out lies about marijuana for ever since, I think, 1958, when the government first started testing medical marijuana to find out its true potential as a medicine. Well, one of the first things they found out is that it was an excellent painkiller. And then they found out that it was also an excellent mood stabilizer. Okay. And then they found out that you can't kill yourself with it. You simply can't. In fact, I think the exact words of the technician that wrote the report were, "The only way I find that you can kill even a lab rat with this stuff is if you drop a 30-pound block of it from 20 feet in the air straight on top of its back." So it's like the safest thing there is. In fact, if you research it, you'll find that even aspirin has logged up thousands of deaths around this world, but I challenge anyone out there to find a single death as the result of the use of marijuana.
And this excludes those who have been shot in the back running away from the cops.
And the cops that have been out there defending something that should not be illegal.
Yeah, exactly. Something that is like cause and effect. The marijuana killed them. For example, if a giant marijuana plant suddenly came alive and strangled you to death with its vines, which are made of the strongest natural fiber in the world, then that I would classify as more likely of a marijuana plant killing you than smoking it to death.
No, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the actual stats on marijuana, what it would take to, if you wanted to commit suicide using marijuana, you would have to smoke in a 15-minute period 1,550 55 pounds of this stuff.
Yeah, I'll give it a crack.
Can I join you?
Well, no, bro. I have to smoke it by myself, all right? You can watch.
The miser did, all right.
You know, I mean, it'd be one hell of a way to go. You know, you could ask for a worse fate.
You got a smile on your face, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. Well, the question is, if you couldn't finish it, what would you do with the remaining
pounds of marijuana? Build it out.
No, seriously, that's like a freaking warehouse.
It is 1,555 pounds. Man, I can't even imagine that much pot.
Is that like a shipping container or something?
one of those big sealed containers there, you know?
Well, you know, you could probably do it in one enormous bong hit, I think, you know? No. Like, seriously though, you could actually get one of those, you know, those big radio telescopes that have the enormous dishes that are like 500 meters across or something like that. You have one of those massive radio telescope radio dishes kind of thing. If you put all the 15,000 pounds of weed in there, and then you have a harp focused laser beam generator thingy to warmth it all up and cause the particles to incinerate at a rate faster than the average thing per second, and then possibly you might be able to suck it down, but I think that might be a bit excessive. You know, you see, this is the thing. I may have been going off on an insane tangent here, but really, that is the insanity of the war on drugs. Something that would take that creative a means to try and kill yourself with it.
Or anybody else for that matter. It's like, can you imagine if somebody had a homicidal wish and tried to use marijuana to kill somebody? You'd have to drive a truck over it, you know, drive a truck of marijuana over somebody to commit marijuana homicide.
Well, incidentally, you can now build cars out of marijuana paneling.
Oh, of course.
So if you had 15,000 pounds of marijuana panel, like, for example, you could build a tank out of marijuana, and then you ran somebody over with that tank.
Give it to him, Vinny. Hey, you're coming up with some good ideas here. You better stop that now.
See, that's how much marijuana it would take to kill you.
We got to build a tank out of this stuff and then drive it over you.
And incidentally, you can actually make fuel from the marijuana as well to fuel the tank. And you can also make lubricant out of it to lubricate the gears. You can make paneling out of it that's almost as strong as the metal. It's almost as strong as carbon fiber.
Can you imagine the bullets? Can you imagine the shells made out of marijuana?
Hey, I mean, I would presume that that marijuana has been used to kill before. But I can't cite any statistical reference for the amount of deaths caused by marijuana related weaponry.
Hey, I got a way you could do it. I think you could petrify a marijuana stalk and file the front down to a point and stab somebody with it.
Hey, there you go. A stabby marijuana stalk. That is a reason to raid a grower. I mean, these dangerous people sitting at home growing stick weaponry.
Right. Holy cow.
Oh. By hook or by crook. Well, in fact, you recently got raided, didn't you?
Excuse me?
You recently got raided, didn't you?
Thank you for bringing that up, Vinny. I wanted to talk about that. This was a funny story, but not so funny, okay? I have a neighbor downstairs. I won't mention any names. It's not up to me to do that. But I will say this. This neighbor that's downstairs, is a young guy. He's your age, as a matter of fact. And he's perfectly healthy. Ain't nothing wrong with him. I can't see anything wrong with him anyway. He's downstairs living with his girlfriend illegally, okay, because they're drawing state and federal funds to live, all right? So he's got a ghost apartment on one floor, and she's got an apartment downstairs where they're living together illegally, all right?
And we'll get into more of this after the break, this gripping cliffhanger on the Vinny Eastwood Show with Mark Jerkins from the Medical Marijuana State of Maine. Check us out at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Back in a moment.
gather around people wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back. The times, they are frickin' changing. Yes, they are. Oh, yes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. What? Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Mark Jerkins. And we were just talking about this 26-year-old fella who's living in fraud of the state on federal money illegally with his girlfriend. And then he comes over to your house with a sob story. Let everybody else know what he does now.
Okay, this is when he comes into the house because, he knew that I had just picked up some medicine, and he figured he was just going to invite himself in, sit himself down on my couch, and start telling me his life sob story, you know, and I listened to it for a while. I'm sitting here planting some cucumbers, you know, and trying to get my garden going, And I don't mind, you know, I'm the manager of this building, so, you know, and he lives here, so I figured, why not, you know, he can come in and talk to me a bit. But it didn't dawn on me that he was only there because he knew I had some medicine, okay? And it did after a while because he sat here for a little bit and started, you know, with his sob story, and he was looking very, very intently at my medicine there. And this went on for... I don't know, about a half hour, and on and on and on and on and on about how much his life sucks and how much, you know, he can't get anything going and this, that, and the other thing. And you know, I asked him like three times to change the subject because I've been up against my own struggles for quite a few years, and especially the past 2.5 years, and most especially the past 6 months, okay? And here I am in my own place trying to relax and get some gardening done. And this guy's just going off the wall on me. And he's becoming irate, okay? He's like pissed off at me because his life sucks. And he's, you know, he's sitting there expecting me to smoke up my medicine with him, okay? And I begin to realize this. So I asked him to leave. I said, please just leave. You won't change the subject. I'm trying to relax. I need to get some planting done here. Please just leave. And he would not leave. And he just kept crying and crying and crying about his life situation. And he folds his arms on his chest the second time that I asked him politely to leave. Folds his arms on his chest and looks at me with a smut-eaten grin on his face. All right. And, like I'm in his living room and not vice versa. Okay. And so I didn't know what to think about that. I just sat there and let him carry on a little bit more. And then a third time, I, you know, this time I got a little more abrupt. And I said, listen, you got to go. Okay. You got to get out. You know, I'm trying to relax here and I really don't need all this stress, you know. And he just would not leave. Plain and simple, would not leave. And then he starts insulting me, you know, because, well, I'll tell you the truth. I decided since he was going to use me as a dump to dump his troubles on, you know, crying on my shoulder. Well, the least I could do is tell him why he's sitting there crying about life, you know. So I started telling him, you know, listen to me, man. You're a young man. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You've got an out of wedlock girlfriend living illegally on the state federal funds and everything. And neither one of you is doing a damn thing to change your situation. Okay. You just seem to expect everyone and everything to owe you a life. Well, he didn't like that. You know, the truth hurts. Okay. But I figured, you know, he's going to sit in my couch and cry to me. The least he can do is listen to why he's crying, right? So I told him, hey, you know, here it is. And, well, then he starts insulting me, you know, telling me I got a big mouth and you know, I should just be careful what I'm saying and that and the other thing. And I'm stupid and this, that, and the other. Well, by this time now I'm getting upset. Okay. I've asked the guy to leave politely 3 times and then 1 time really abruptly. And so I had a knife that was sitting next to me waiting to cut my cucumber pods apart, you know, cause I had these moss pot cucumber pods that I was planting my cucumbers in. And once I got them planted and watered, I needed to divide them and set them in their trays, right? Well, when he started insulting me, I had enough by this time. This was about an hour into his forced visit, okay? And I grabbed a hold of that knife and stood up because I'm 100% disabled, all right? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got martial arts training. I've got military hand-to-hand combat training, and I'm a 30-year construction expert. I could hurt him if I wanted to, but the problem is I will get hurt in the process of doing that, you know, and I don't want to be hurt anymore. So I picked up the knife and I stood myself up, you know, in the doorway to the kitchen, leaving him plenty of room to get past me and get out, and ordered him out of my house, okay? Showing him the knife just so he knew that if he was to do something stupid, something stupid would happen. Okay. Anyway, he decided to call me a coward 2 or 3 times as he was walking out. All right. And went downstairs and cried to his girlfriend, who he's living illegally with, who decided to cause trouble for me. So she calls the landlord of the building and complains to him that I had threatened her poor boyfriend with a knife. Now, she didn't tell him why. She didn't tell him nothing else. She just told him that. Well, fortunately, the landlord and I are good friends from way back. We know each other. I've done some work for him, and he knows the kind of person that I am. So he called me up just to clear things up, and I told him what happened. And he said, well, okay, as long as you're okay and there's no problem. I told him, listen, there's no hard feelings or anything. As long as he stays down there for the next couple of days and chills out, and I'll stay up here. I don't care. You know, I got my life. He's got his, and, you know, that's fine. You know, we'll leave it at that. But the landlord there, he says, okay, you know, that's fine. Everything's settled and it's cool. We'll leave it at that. So we'll get off the phone with him. And about an hour later, the police and the Border Patrol show up at my door. All right. Well, it turns out that when the two of them downstairs realized that they weren't going to be able to hurt me by calling the landlord, they decided to call the police. And not only tell them that I had threatened him with a knife, but also divulge to them that I was taking care of myself with medical marijuana. Well, they show up here and they take a look around the place. Well, you know, when I open the door at first, they're being all polite and everything. They're professionals. And, you know, I got to hand it to them. They did a really professional job. But they show up and they ask me what happened. And I told them, you know, and I said, there's no hard feelings or anything like that. You know, I just wanted the man to leave, and now he left, so everything's cool, you know. Well, they said, okay, and they were fixing, you know, I thought they were fixing to leave, and so I said, have a nice day, and started to close my door, and they said, oh, by the way, where are your plants? And I'm like, I just put on a big smile on my face and looked at them, you know, because ain't no use of putting up a fuss, you know. I just said, all right. He starts to say, you know, we don't need a search warrant because we can smell it. And I'm like, listen, don't go any further. You don't need a search warrant. Come on in. I'll show you what I've got. So they come in and I take them straight to my grow room and I show them what I've got. All right. And the first thing the officer says when he looks in there, he's just like, man, you've got a hell of a setup here. And I said, well, you know, I'm growing medicine. You know, I'm not growing drugs here. I'm growing medicine. You know, and I need it to be set up nicely, and it needs to be, everything needs to be clean and straight, and you know, everything needs to be right. And he says, this is really nice. And I said, yeah, guess what? I'm running 200 watts and I have 90,000 lumens. He says, holy cow. I said, yeah, holy cow. And that's the only reason I have that is because I use mirrors instead of Mylar, You know, I use actual highly polished silver mirrors under, over, and all around my grow table in order to refract all of the light back at the plants over and over and over again. Well, I take 200 watts and turn it into 90,000 lumens easily, you know. And so anyway, he's looking at it. He's all impressed. And he says, all these yours? You know, I had 6 low riders and 2 god buds, all right? And they were doing beautiful, too. Holy cow, they were doing beautiful. The low riders were fixing to start flowering, and I was going to be able to take the god buds and put them under regular light and let the low riders do their thing. But here they're looking at that, and they're like, well, you know, the call was made, and lawfully you don't have the right to do this yet, according, because no doctor has given it to you, and since the complaint was made, we're going to have to take your plants. And I'm like, well, easy come, easy go. You know, and he says, we know that this guy is using us as a tool of revenge right now, and we're not too happy about that. He says, if he hadn't called us, we would never have known about you doing this, and we would never have had any reason to bother you with it. And it looks to us like you're taking care of yourself here quietly. You're not bothering anybody, and you're in your own little bottle here. So, you know, and he says that's when by him calling us, he gave us permission to look into his life as well. And I can tell you right now that you're not the one in trouble. And he says he is in very much trouble because he's been living unlawfully all winter with his girlfriend, breaking federal law. Okay. And he's got an assault and battery charge on him that he's fixing to face in a few days, you know. So, and that right there shows that I might have needed that knife, you know, because he does have a history of violence. But anyway, they took my plants. But however, now get this. When I come back inside after our, you know, little discussion and everything, I go back into my grow room and look, and guess what I find in the middle of my table? Can you guess?
No idea.
One plant. They left me one plant. Okay. This is the police and the border patrol that have been called in to, you know, because basically I'm growing marijuana in my apartment. And they took.
Did they leave all your grow equipment as well?
Oh, of course, all of my food, my grow equipment, my everything, my lights, everything. They didn't touch none of that. They hit me with a misdemeanor cultivating marijuana charge. Okay, which even they said I am going to blow right out the door because of my situation. You know, so really, it's not even a slap in the hand to me. I mean, the worst part about it is that they took my medicine that I had that day. I mean, I need that medicine, you know. I can't take aspirin. I can't take Tylenol. I can't take ibuprofen and none of that, you know. The only thing I can take is marijuana, and they took it from me, okay? And so that was the worst
part. Have you ever seen Bill Cooper's Never Get Busted Again?
No.
This is DVD. We should probably introduce you, man, because he was one of the top narcotics officers in Texas, and he tells you all the tricks that the police use to bust you. I mean, in that situation there, when they don't even have a warrant, okay, you didn't even have to let them in your house. You could have still kept all your plants and just told them until they have a warrant, they have to go packing. And just tell them that you've done absolutely nothing wrong, and the person that is, you know, it's just like, because they bank on your honesty so that they can then take something with you and then charge you with something minor and expect you to be grateful for it.
Yeah, well, the fact is, the only way they can make any money off marijuana is by making it illegal, and that's why they made it illegal, you know, and. You're absolutely right. They will say and do whatever they can to get that little charge because, you know, that's what they're there for, I guess. I don't know. I personally think they should leave people like me alone. You know, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not asking anybody to start using marijuana. I'm not selling it. I'm not. It's for me. It's for my own personal medical use. And as far as them coming in here and taking my medicine, you know, shame on them. You know,
they're picking on a poor, hapless person who's trying to make do for himself. I mean, no better than thugs in a fairy tale.
Exactly. It's like the Wicked Witch of the West sends her henchmen to rough you up, you know, and that's basically what it felt like, you know, and
yeah,
it's a shame. It really is a shame.
And then the Wicked Witch, you know, sits back with them back at the police station after they've nabbed all your stash, going, "Get high, my pretties, high."
Right. Well, one of the things that they said about my stuff is that it was short and sweet, with a big smile on their face, and, you know, kind of rubbing their bellies, like, "Yeah, man, we got a good one here." You know?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that's the problem with cops, is that a lot of them do partake and still arrest people just so that they can take their stash and then don't take it back to evidence. But they do incinerate it all the same. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break. Unity, please don't desert me.
Extend your life with Extendovite. My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with
Extendovite. The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Freedom Files. Weekday, Monday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central.
On American Freedom Radio.
Oh, yes! Welcome back. I said, oh, yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about being operatic in the face of a raid by the DEA. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And my very special guest, Mark Jerkins from the state of Maine, in a state of betrayal at the drug laws. Welcome back, Mark.
Thanks, Vinnie.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Something I'd like to get into, I see we're running short on time, but something I'd like to get into for all the people that are out there struggling like I am to get the right to take care of themselves. I have a piece of advice for you. Recently, I found out how to speed up that process. Hit them in the wallet, people. Okay, the first thing you need to do is fire your doctor because he's not taking care of you properly. And then every time you have a problem, go to the emergency room because it's going to cost your insurance company over $3,000 per pop to do that. And after the first 3 or 4 visits, they're going to call you and beg you to stop going to the emergency room. And that's when you tell them, okay, then provide me with a doctor who will care for me the way I'm supposed to be cared for, and I'll stop going to the emergency room.
So you basically blackmailed and held your insurance company to ransom. That seems fair.
Yeah, hey, you know, they live for money, right? It's all about money. Well, if you start costing them a lot more money than they're making on you, well, they're going to want to change that, you know. They're going to want to change that real quick. So,
well, that's like that's like the Hegelian dialectic, bro. You created the problem and then provided the solution and posed as the savior.
You're good, man. I like you. Yeah, all right. I'm going to have you over for a roast sometime.
Well, unfortunately, I won't come anywhere near the continental U.S., A1, because I'd have to get either microwaved or groped on the way in. And the other point is, you know, would you visit Nazi Germany in 1939? I bet not.
No, I don't think so. Not unless I was there in a wartime capacity with plenty of ammo.
Yeah, but even then, it wouldn't be that pleasant, you know? I don't want to go in there, you know, oh, you're a Kiwi, you're a foreigner, boy, I'm going to kill you.
You know, right, like, right.
Imagine being chased down the street by a bunch of Zionists or something like that, waving their little flags.
Yeah, you wouldn't really be able to enjoy your visit, would you?
Well, you know, I suppose if I came and hung out with the crew at American Freedom Radio and you and stuff, and, you know, people all around the world. I'd love to go see the Swerdlows and go to Hawaii or something and see Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz and all the people that I've interviewed on the show kind of thing. That would be what my tour of America would be. But the problem is, yeah, I don't want to be microwaved, so it's not going to be handled.
Or groped. Yeah. Or groped. It's like, yeah, your hands off me. Yeah. No, but if you ever do come, Vinny, you come look me up. Yeah, I'll show you a good time over here in northern Maine. I'll tell you what, they ain't just moose out here now.
All right.
There's a lot of white flies, too.
It's not just moose out there in Maine, ladies and gentlemen. You get the brand spanking new news here from the Vinny Eastwood Show.
I really appreciate you having me on your show, Vinny. I've been trying for a very long time to put my personal message out there, and I know it's getting out there. I use YouTube most prominently, and I have some followers. I have some people who keep track of what I'm doing, and a lot of supporters. The problem is, you know, because of the stigmatism that goes along with what I'm doing, the supporters I have are silent supporters. You know, it takes a lot of gumption to put yourself out there the way I have. Okay. In fact, my whole family has pretty much, well, they're not too happy, you know, and I really don't blame them because they have to live in this society too. You know, and when I put myself out there the way I did, well, of course, I put their name in jeopardy as well, you know, because, this is a tight-knit society. We live here in northern Maine. You can, now this is going to sound funny, but it's true. You can fart on this side of the county, and by the time you get to the other side of the county, they're going to tell you what it smelled like.
Well, that's the problem with the small societies, but it's also the good thing about it is that, well, everybody knows each other and a whole lot of talk goes around. Now, this can be good for exposing either bad people in a small community, but it can also work to the disadvantage of good people who are just having rumors and demonization spread about them as well.
Exactly. Especially when you have a largely elderly society. Elderly retired society, and you know what they like to do. They like to sit around and talk, you know. And, well, you know, they get tired of talking about the river and the rain and the weather and stuff like that. So, of course, they start talking about each other. And, well, I'll just say that a lot of the time they're not exactly correct in the things they talk about. They think they are. They believe they are. And God bless them. They really think that they're, you know, right. But they don't have the whole story. They don't try to get the whole story. They just take the first thing they hear as being the truth and then start spreading around with their own adaptation to that, you know. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And before you know it, Paul Bunyan's got a big blue ox named Babe.
Yeah. Yeah, not entirely different from them just sitting at home watching soap operas and trying to identify with all these characters that are all stereotypical, vacuous, boring, and certainly cannot act worth a damn.
Right. It's like the only reason they're on there is because mommy daddy's got $1 billion, you know?
For goodness sake, you know, people, wake up. There's a grand, beautiful, and fantastic, and fabulous, and whatnot world out there that doesn't really require a terribly large amount of effort to start participating in, but it does require you to stop wasting your time watching television and hanging out with vacuous people who don't have anything going for them. Who are going to sit in their live in their small towns, in their small minds for all of their small time here on Earth and accomplish and amount to almost exactly nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a shame. I love this area. Okay. And for a lot of the reasons that we have discussed, you know, it's small, it's quiet. Crime rate here is zero. Okay. I mean, the biggest crime you have around here is OUI. Okay. And really, I kind of like that, you know, the fact that I can leave my front door open. I can leave the keys in my four-wheeler. I can, even my car is open and the keys in it, you know, and I don't worry about that around here. But at the same time, you know, people talking can cause a lot of damage, especially if they don't know exactly what they're talking about, you know. They just talk thinking they know the truth, they know what's right, and but they're not willing to research it. They're not willing to dig in and find the truth. They just, they're set in their ways and that's it. You know, you can't move them. You can't budge them. Best that you can do is lock yourself up and live your life, you know, and try to not let them know how you're living it, you know.
Well, you know, it hurts most when it's close family members, you know, because it's sort of like the one you love hurts you the most.
Right, right. Well, it's kind of, you know, I really enjoy this apartment and the fact that I am the successful manager of this building. It doesn't pay me anything. All it does is just give me the right to live here without having to pay to live here, you know, which is cool to me. You know, I work at my own pace. I'm my own boss. I have fixed up half of this building already, and I can imagine over the winter I've got a lot more to do. But I've put out gardens outside. I've put out flower beds. I'm fixing the place up, you know, and it gives me something to do. It gives me purpose in my disabled life, you know. And it's like I said, I'm disabled, not dead. And I can't do what I was trained all of my life to do anymore because my body just can't do it anymore. You know, I suffer way too much pain and I am very much restricted by the injuries of my lifetime. But at the same time, I can't stop. I can't sit down and say that's it. You know, that's just not me. I can't do that. And for this guy to come up here and do what he did last week and try to get me in trouble the way he did, living the way he is, see, that's the most discouraging thing right there, is because I see this young guy doing what he's doing, and I think, my God, is that what this society is coming to?
Let's hope not, and let's hope we can do something about it. Thanks, Mark Jerkins, for coming on. What's your YouTube channel name again?
Mark Jerkins at YouTube.com.
And that's J-E-R-K. That's Jerkins as in jerk, ladies and gentlemen.
You can't imagine the things I grew up with because of that.
I'm pretty sure I can't imagine. It doesn't seem like it requires that much of an imagination to work out. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Very special guest has been Mark Jerkins. And we'll be back tomorrow with more madness and sadness and gladness and whatnotness.
Hey, thanks,
it's some time, ladies and gentlemen.
Why buy long-term storage and emergency preparedness dried and dehydrated foods? Well, freeze-dried and dehydrated foods can be stored just about any place and will be ready when you need it. Like in the event of a disaster that disrupts transportation, grocery stores would be empty within 3 days. Bulk food purchases really make your dollars count. Buying in bulk, your cost per pound drops significantly. And it has 7 to 30 years long-term shelf life. No refrigeration is required either, so if the power goes out, your food is still safe. And you know, studies have shown that dehydrated foods are actually substantially more nutritious than either frozen or canned foods. The loss is only 3 to 5% of the original nutritional value of the food, without added chemicals or additives, making this method of food preservation by far the best choice for natural, healthy eating. So log on to emergencypreparednessdirect.com.
July 4th. Come join patriots from all across the great land in eastern Pennsylvania for Freedom Palooza, a three-day festival of music and great speakers. Come party with the likes of former Congressman Jim Trafficant.
Man, they railroaded that guy.
Mark and Rose.
Hey, I saw him in Freedom of Fascism.
You want great rock?
We got it.
How about the most influential, hardest-working band in the movement today? Poker Face.
We got the Amaro.
Firm the Valor.
And Killer.
Doug Hawk.
Front Your Enemy.
The Grunts.
Kinetic Blue.
Secret System Band.
Scrap Metal Bomb.
Rebel Inc.
Man, that's a lot of bands.
Camp out under the stars along the Delaware River like our founding fathers did before the Battle of Trenton.
What else are you going to do this 4th of July?
Sit around with family members you hate?
Listen to your fat uncle tell the same stories he tells every year?
No way, man.
I'm going to Freedom Palooza.
Go to FreedomPalooza.com
for all the details.
That's FreedomPalooza.com.
Freedom Palooza. Freedom Palooza.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with used potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.